Tonight on the Movie Crew Podcast, from the director of Sister Act, The Nutcracker, and Three Men and a Little Lady, Emil Ardolino's Dirty Dancing.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs in cans living together, mass hysteria.
Podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
Hey, Brian, keep your hands off your daughters now, okay? You know.
What?
I'm treating you like the artists. You know, you keep your hands off the daughters.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Sorry. Anyways, how you doing, Brian?
Wow. Sorry. You just it came out so strong. I was just like, Jared, you don't have a daughter? I'm sorry. What happened?
Not my daughters. Like the customer's daughters.
Just in general. Just Stay away from daughters.
Oh, my God. Holy crap. All right. Well, this show is going swimmingly. So we also have with us costume designer Krista Jones.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about this 1987 pop culture sensation,
yeah.
Dirty Dancing.
Ooh, Dirty Dancing. Like that.
This is the first time you guys seen this? Come on. It can't be, right? Everybody's seen this before,
I've never
right?
seen this before. This is my first time.
Not true.
Okay. I don't think it's possible to grow up when we did and not be inundated with Dirty Dancing.
I'm sure there are people who haven't seen it, but
oh,
I have
bullshit,
seen it
Kristen.
Many times.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh no, that was not a confession. I have definitely seen this movie.
This was definitely a TV staple.
Yeah.
Especially in the 90s. Like it was on TV at TBS and TNT all the time.
And what's burned into my brain about this movie is not all the sexy dancing and all that. It's the fucking songs at the end, and it's not even the needle drop songs. It's the and it's because it goes on for so fucking long. And also that hula song that the sister sings is also just for some reason, the tones of that is just like burned into my psyche.
Well, same. And it's so bizarre. And even as a kid, I was like, I don't understand what's happening. Why is she doing that? I was actually hoping that, like, as I watched it as an adult, I would have some sort of reference or understand it, and I still do not know what she's doing.
She thinks she's doing really well, too. You know, that's what makes that whole thing great. She's like, I'm killing this.
Look at my costume. I look amazing.
I love her confidence, I have to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, when Johnny comes up and he's like, hey, all right, everybody, and the fucking mic squeaks. She's still going. She's still having her moment. Oh, so she's like, oh.
Oh wait, was that the sister that was going when Swayze comes up and
everybody was on stage. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I know everybody's on
but
stage.
But she's the last one that trails.
She's
off.
The last one to quit singing.
That's right. Before he walks in,
it wasn't during her performance. It was during the fucking extremely long, camp. Song.
Review?
You know? Yeah. That was like a camp song. It was all about, you know, we love this place.
The season is ending.
Yeah.
But we're going to be
maybe
friends
the last
forever.
Season. That's right.
or some shit. I don't know. It looked really cheesy.
Hearts and hands and, you know, all that shit.
I'm really glad we don't do family vacations and like all-inclusive resorts like this. This looks like hell.
Really?
Yeah, right? I mean, it looks like what a cruise ship is now, you know?
It does feel like a cruise ship, but also it's in a time before all of, you know, social media and everything. So for some reason, everybody who goes to this place is really into dance. And they're like, ooh, the mambo. Hell yeah. You know, and everybody knows it. You know, it's a thing.
Oh, well, hold on. Because people used to know how to dance. I mean, yeah. Weren't you taught? I was never given like proper formal lessons, but I definitely like. My parents and grandparents definitely taught me different steps and how to dance and everything.
Look, man, we're the same age. I know you hit on a girl and, you know, you had to learn the electric slide just to talk to her. Come on. I know I did.
Well, I can say as a woman who dances with men, and it is mostly as the woman I am taught to follow. And so you actually have to know what you're doing. I would say it's only like 40% of men who actually know how to dance. Yeah, I would say it's about like 40%.
Dancing's such a big term here because, you know, when we were growing up, they were like, now leave space for Jesus. And then you put your hands on the shoulders and you kind of like, or whatever.
Well, yeah. So that's what they're talking about. Like, did you learn how to like do the mambo or the waltz or salsa or any of that, or ballroom even, or foxtrot, or any of these things? I would say like, I would say like 40% of the people, but that's also kind of what you're talking about is like, that's the whole point of dirty dancing, right? Is they're not leaving room for Jesus. Right?
Yeah, you're up there, you're hump dancing. Like everybody's got their hips going and shit. Dude, I will say that when they go up there and that fucking like that drop happens and the door opens and fucking like hump dance party, you know, 1963 is going on, and it's just like, what a shock, man. Like I was listening to this I watched it on the Blu-ray disc with my like 3D fucking surround sound headphones on, and it was like wow, that was a big hit. That such the sound and the music in this, it just really makes these scenes pop,
and the scenes are actually kind of sexy. This is not like the terrible stuff that we usually see. This is it sells it. I mean, it's nothing but teasing, you know. We barely get, there's no flesh that's really shown in here. It's like, what, a PG-13 movie?
Was this PG-13?
I don't think it's R.
It's PG if or it's, PG-13. It's PG-13.
If it's R, it's because of the abortion, not because of the sexiness.
There's some grinding going on, you know?
It's not enough to give it a rating.
I don't know, man, but it's still sexy. There's something, you know, it's still sexy. You know, you don't have to show it all to make it hot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just need those looks, man. Mm. And then, you know, cut to the body grinding, do those dance moves. Oh.
Yeah, quit looking down. I'm right here. Look, right here.
Oh, that scene in that white room with that fucking mirror, dude. Oh, my God. Where they're mouthing the words to the song. That shit's fucking hot. That is off the chain. Ridiculous. It's great.
Oh, love a boy. That one.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, when she goes behind the little clothes partition and comes out the other side. I love that they don't cut there. They hold it.
Yeah.
So you see her go like in one way, and then the camera goes through the partition, and then she comes out the other side. It's so fucking awesome. It's blocked so well.
Yeah, there's some really nice Steadicam stuff in those scenes, and that where it's just kind of, and I like how they don't really, they're just finding good angles. They're not really like doing a lot of like tracking stuff on this dance stuff. It's just really immaculately framed, and there's really nice light. You know, every time they land in a close up, it's just lit perfectly. I was like, wow, to be such a low budget and made, you know, as they could type film, they're just such great moments that they create.
Yeah, it's a true independent movie.
Yeah, yeah, and it looks great. Apparently, that scene where he's crawling all over the floor and they're singing to each other, that wasn't something that was really scripted. That was a thing that they did to get in the character, you know, where she's mocking how he is training her. That was actually them playing, and they're like, actually, you know what, that's kind of funny, let's do that.
That's good,
because it is good. It's good to show a little playing, because I thought it was kind of weird that, like, you know, we're getting into her learning to dance, because, you know, she has to come in and now she's the understudy, I guess, and he's real like sharp with her. He's like, no, look, you know, follow me, don't quit, it's on the one and the two and the one. He keeps barking at her. But then we go into these montages with the needle drops, and then that's where the magic really starts to happen. When this movie drops in needle drops, it's just like, there's something electric about it. And I don't know what it is. It just makes the movie so much better. And I don't know if that's just because I've seen it a thousand fucking times and I have all this like built-in like memory of these songs and how great these moments are. But yeah, man, as soon as we drop into those memorable needle drops, it's actually, you know, it'll cause you chill bumps at times.
I think it works really, really well. I don't think it's a nostalgia thing for this film. I mean, that's why they have tried to redo it so many times. And I think they can't capture the magic of this one. This is really something special. And the fact that that scene was just playing around was kind of amazing.
Have you seen any of the Dirty Dancing sequels or TV? What is it? Is it a TV show?
Is there a TV show?
I know they did a stage show, like a Broadway style show. And then they did Havana Nights movie. But I'm not sure if there was a series.
And I saw Swayze was in the Havana Nights movie.
Yeah, I pulled up some screenshots to look and see what he looked like in that. Very thin.
But I don't think he's playing the same character.
No, he's a dance instructor.
All right. I don't know why he's in it then. That's weird. I hate when they do that. Where it's like, is this a remake? Is it a sequel? Is it a requel? What are we doing here?
I don't know the time period on it, but it still looks like it was set, you know, it's a period piece.
You know, I would give it a watch, especially after rewatching this, because my memory of like Dirty Dancing as a young man was this was, you know, it was played out.
It's a prequel set in 1958. So that's definitely not, you know.
Is that a prequel? Because we don't get a time period when this movie's set.
1963.
This is in the 60s, yeah.
Wait, how do you know it's 63?
Because they say it.
They say it at the beginning.
No, they don't. They say it's the year.
Yes, they do. I wrote it down.
They said it was before JFK got assassinated. Did they say the year? They don't say the year. They say in a time before like JFK was assassinated, and I forget what the other historical example was.
I could have sworn.
And JFK was assassinated in 63.
1987 movie Dirty Dancing is set in the summer of 1963. It takes place at the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York.
Yeah, but does it say that in the movie?
I don't know. That's what the Google says. It's what the Wikipedia says, too.
Well, look, I know Wikipedia is wrong a lot of times.
Is their source the movie or something else? Like, what are we talking about?
Well, apparently the writer, it's a autobiographical, so I'm sure that's probably comes from her.
I just would have liked to have known. I needed a title card that said, you know, the
summer,
year.
1963.
There you go. With the, what was the name of the resort called?
I don't know, but fucking Dennis Nedry out there on a fucking megaphone going, "Welcome to the 1963 summer at the Catskill." You know, like
Wayne Knight,
pickleball starting on the back. You know, they didn't even have pickleball then, I'm sure. But
that is something like the just having the 80s music in the movie. You do kind of forget that the movie is taking place in like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah,
by the time the movie
forgot.
Ends.
Halfway through it, and because like even the clothes and the costumes you could transfer to the 80s,
right? Yeah, especially like Swayze showed up in the leather jacket,
and it kind of makes it feel with that music and that setting, though, it makes it feel magical a little bit, especially when they go out and when Johnny drives away and she kind of like trails after him a little bit in the parking lot, and then you see all the old cars stacked, you know, it's just got like a, you know, it's got a storybooky kind of vibe to it just because of that.
I did like those black and white sections.
Oh, all of those like title cards and stuff look super sexy. And the grain. Oh my God, the grain on this movie. Like, we forget about grain. Like grain in movies, like it's non-existent anymore. And if it is, it's very small and it's little, you know. But like this movie is just fucking grainy, but it doesn't bug me. It's just the 4K looks incredible and it has such beautiful grain, and I always hear Roger Deakins talk about like when he watches old movies, he's just like looking at the grain mostly. He's like, look at how the grain is doing its thing. We don't have that really anymore, and it's just really, it also sets it in that time, you know. It just feels really nice.
Yeah, that 4K transfer is, I can't believe they spent that much money on fucking the Dirty Dancing 4K. Like,
it made $100 million, bro. Of course it did. Of course they did.
I mean, it looks incredible, man. They went through and scrubbed like all the crap out of it. It looks immaculate. Oh, it's beautiful.
It is really, really nice. And it's on sale. So if you haven't picked that one up, it's
oh great. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, isn't it like it's under 15, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Definitely put this in your collection. Just for Jennifer Grey. Which, did you watch the interviews With, have you guys seen Jennifer Grey recently?
I didn't get a chance to do any of the deep dive on the discs.
Man, I was watching the interviews, and when I was looking at it, I was like, that doesn't look like the same fucking person. And it wasn't like she was. This wasn't an interview from like a couple of years ago. This was like from the late 90s, because they were talking about how the movie was like 10 or 15 years old. And she doesn't look the same. And I was like, what the hell? And I started going through and looking at her filmography. Dude, after Dirty Dancing hits, there is no big movie. Like, Patrick Swayze goes on and has this great big career. You know, I think that his big hit was like in Ghost like 3 years later. But Jennifer Grey never has this moment. And I was looking up. Not only was she get into a car accident, she was in the car that Matthew Broderick wrecked and killed the mother and daughter. I don't know if you guys remember that from the 80s. It was like around when Ferris Bueller was off. So she was suffering PTSD from that. And then she got her nose did. She got her nose reduced.
I was going to say, didn't she have plastic surgery? But then I couldn't remember.
She doesn't even look the same.
Yeah, it's no longer. It's more round. She doesn't have that little point where it goes down. It was kind of, yeah, man, what the hell?
Right? She looks totally different. And it's like, that's, I know you thought that may have been a flaw in your face, but I mean, that's what made you so endearing and made you stand out so you didn't look like just everyone else.
Wow.
Now she just kind of looks like a plain Jane, normal person.
Well, seeing more modern photos of her, it looks like at least the plastic surgery's held up better than a lot of people's.
Well, yeah. I mean, she got it done young, so.
And it was just the one thing, right?
If you look at recent pictures of her now, she has obviously had, you know.
Oh, well, now, but yeah. But back then, she only had her nose done.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Which is crazy. Because, like, you watch this movie, and you're like, man, she's cute as shit. God. And she looks so great in all those dance outfits.
I mean, I think a better question is, who told her that was a good idea and that she'd get more work, you know?
Mm. I think it was her mother.
I doubt it.
No, I'm serious. I think I was reading a Wikipedia, so it could be like totally made up. But I think they're like, she wrote like some kind of biography. I forget what the name of it was, like Out of the Corner or something like that. And yeah, her mom like was like, yeah, you need to shrink that nose there. It's kind of big. It's huge.
Damn, mom.
It's gonna hold you back as a leading lady. You're trying to kiss like Paul Newman, and you had that giant nose right there. You're not gonna ever get to his lips.
You've always got to look up. Got to get around that nose.
Two seals fighting for a grape. Shame, though. Shame. Shame.
For being a movie about dancing, there's one really bad dance scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's not coming off the top of my head.
It's the tap dance scene. What the fuck was that?
Oh, that's not a dance scene. That's literally where they're cutting to like, shit. Hey, look at these old people in the retirement home.
And they're like, tick, 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 tick. And their feet aren't even really picking up off the stage. And then the owner of the resort comes out and he's like, ha ha, tick, 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 tick. So ridiculous.
Also, like how that's like the only black guy, minus like the one couple that's in the Dirty Dancing area that's at this resort. They're like, look, we don't even let black people be the help here. It's so weird that it's like completely devoid.
And he's got an interesting name too. I'm trying to find it, Nico or something like that.
Oh, do they actually give him a name?
Yeah, he brings it up because they cut back to him and the guy who runs the place a few times where they're kind of shooting the shit. Tito. That's his name, Tito.
Oh my God. Tito. Toto was taken, so, you know. God damn.
I think the sister's dancing with Tito at the end. Like when they cut to everyone who's dancing, I think the sister's like dancing with Tito. So Tito's a staple at the resort.
Until a gust of wind comes along and blows him down and he can't get up, and Tito's like, down for the count. That tab dancing scene, when I was watching it the second time, it did call out like how amazing and simple the mix is at the very end. They just let that song in the dance moment at the very end, I've Had the Time of My Life, that's playing, and you hear crowd reactions, people clapping and going, ooh. And that's all you hear. You don't hear people running around. You don't hear footsteps. This ain't a Christopher Nolan movie. This isn't a modern film where we're hearing like 50 other things. We're hearing two fucking things. We're hearing crowd and song.
And it's the longest 45 record that has ever been played. Like, Johnny walks up on stage with a fucking 45, and he's like, put this on. You know, and then that song plays for fucking 10 minutes and then goes into a breakdown where the fucking house band is also playing over the top of it. Like, what the fuck? The owner's like, you got the sheet music for this? Like, what?
Well, it did. That's only the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, and it hits, dude. Like, yet again, it's one of those needle drop moments where when all of that starts happening, I got emotional. I was like, holy shit, you know, this is overwhelming, you know? It's just a giant smile on my face the entire fucking time. And everybody's just having such a good time. And when they turn around and you see the Hill audience, and then all the backup dancers have come from the fucking barn, and they're out there, like, you know, like doing the thing behind Johnny, I was like, oh, this is great. It's totally turned into the chorus at the end of a giant stage production.
Well, then at the very end, all of the rich people join in, and it's like, oh, dude, a nice
everybody,
little
it changes. Like, it's going to save really cool. the resort. Yeah, that's right.
It's not going to save the resort. It's going to save humanity, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, well, it is too, because he's talking about, he's like, you know, that's what he was talking to Tito about. He's like, you know, this may be our last summer, you know, because kids, they want to go to Europe, you know, they want to go visit 27 countries in 2 weeks instead of like coming here and learning how to do the mambo, you know. But then he's like, holy shit, look at, there's this new music, you know, we could integrate this in and we could save this place.
Wow, you read a lot into that. I didn't get that a lot out of that, Jared.
I know. I actually, I think it goes a little further, because the whole movie is about class systems, and it's not actually about dancing. That's just the vehicle that brings the two different classes together. It's about classes, and that's one of the nice things about the end is, yeah, like, it does seem like this world that they have known is falling apart. There's so many changes that haven't actually even happened yet, because there were bigger changes coming. But yeah, how do you survive and how can you adapt? And it's actually really easy, you know, when you have something in common like that.
And I like how the owner of the place doesn't like panic, and he doesn't be like, whoa, what is all this? Because at the beginning, you know, when Babies like sneaks over to the other party that's going on with all the workers and stuff, and they're fucking doing the dirty dancing, and then her friend is there, or that other guy that she knows, and he's like, can you imagine them doing this back at the main house, you know? This, how people would be like completely like freaked out. But then at the end, when it actually starts happening, everybody's into it. It's like a fun thing. Everybody starts to join in and enjoy it, you know? So times, they are a-changing.
All through music and dance.
Yeah, man. It's through getting past, you know, just to get in there and just like grind on each other.
That's all you need to do, right?
That's all you gotta do, man.
I do like that one moment when Swayze's like dancing with the blonde, and then he's just like, all right, I'm gonna go check out the rest of the room. Yep. And then as
he just
going,
rolls around.
He just rolls up behind like three or four different girls. He just like starts grinding on their ass real quick. He's like, all right, I gave you a little bit. All right, now let's go to the next one.
That's what I'm saying. He makes eye contact with every woman in the room until he lands on Baby. He's like, oh, there you are.
Do you need a grind? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, like,
come out here and let me get you out of your comfort zone, girl.
The end of the movie, I did watch the deleted scenes to see if there was anything cut out of the movie. I didn't see anything on the deleted scenes, but all right. So they're having that big dance, like, you know, everybody in the room's dancing.
At the
very end. Yeah, all right.
At the end, okay.
Everybody's having a good time. The dad and Patrick Swayze, they finally have their, like, heart-to-heart moment.
That was a good moment, too.
They see eye to eye. Well, Swayze and Jennifer Grey, they're walking literally out the door, and there's a exit sign, all right? And then we have that scene, and then we have two shots or three shots around the ballroom, and then they're back in the center of the ballroom, and I'm like, what just happened? What did we cut out of? Why were we going toward the exit to stop dancing, and now we're back on the dance floor? How did that happen?
They felt like they had to run away, because, you know, but then now Dad is cool with it, so fuck it. Everybody's great, so yeah, let's party.
I don't know. Yeah, it was very bizarre. And then also, like, when they started dancing alone at the end, it was just like, it does leave you as an adult. I never thought this as a kid or a young person, but, like, I don't know. It's just like, this is such a just, this is a seasonal fling. Like, they are going to go home after tonight and never see each other again.
Well, she's on vacation.
Yeah.
Isn't she also 17?
You know, details, Kristen, okay? Details, all right?
And Johnny's like 35.
No, it was 25. The 50s. Okay? He's 25, I think. Not in real life, but in the movie, he's 25. In real life, he is definitely.
I've seen things, baby. Like, she's like, how many women have you been with? He's like, well, I mean, you know, they just throw themselves at me, baby. I mean, like, you don't understand how hard it is. Like, every time I turn around, they're just wrapping their arms around me.
Oh, I did think it's that a was lot of so pressure. Funny.
Man, slut shaming is awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, she leans over and hugs him. She's like, it's going to be all right. She's like, fuck, you're the first guy that I've ever been with. And now you've been with 30 women. It's a good way to get out of that. It's a good way to get out of that conversation, though. He's like, oh, yeah, it's terrible, you know. You don't know what it's like.
They were using me, girl.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. She's like, well, you know, you were using. She's like, they used me. That's when she goes in for the hug. That's right.
Gotta fight harder, baby.
Oh. Dude, the use of baby is so weird. Like, I get it. She's naive and all that, but just like they have these conversations. I'm sorry you had to see that, baby. Sometimes in the world, you just see things you don't want to see. That, like, cunty dude that she was like, that everybody was trying to set her up with at the beginning. Like, ugh.
Yeah, anytime they got too serious with it, you're right. It is a little cheesy.
Well, no, but I think he's supposed to be cheesy. Nothing he says is meant to be real. He's the owner's son. He is like a slimy greaseball.
Super douchebag, yeah.
So everything like he says is meant to. So even though he's trying to be like, oh, I'm protecting you, it's meant to be.
Well, even like Swayze's got that line where he's like, I don't believe you, baby.
I know, every time.
I mean, well, that's like, I don't know how many times I was like, that is so fucking funny.
But in the same vein, when Penny, she's like, go back to your playpen, baby. She adds a beat there, you know, because I'm like, okay, good. At least somebody's like trying to like make this nickname work a little bit better, you know.
Well, doesn't Penny also have a moment where she's like, baby? Isn't that your name? Is that your name?
Apparently, the lady who's Eleanor, who wrote it, that was her nickname. Her nickname was Baby. So that's an actual thing.
That is Baby. A terrible nickname.
Terrible nickname. It is. It's a terrible, terrible nickname.
I like how though at the beginning she acknowledges, she's like, I was too young to know that it was not a good idea.
That is great.
Yeah, because that's what everyone else is fucking thinking when they hear it. They're like, oh, man.
Is it trailer time?
Yeah, Brian. I loved watching your hair blow in the breeze. You know, I'm the catch of the county, they say.
Jared, I don't have any hair. Oh, wait. That was a line. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
Anyway, yeah.
So we're going to watch a trailer for Emil Ardolino's Dirty Dancing. We'll be right back. So won't you say
you love me? The heat is in the music. The music sets you dancing. Every place we go. The dancing sets her free. Best Wrong Pictures presents Dirty Dancing. She thought it would be just another summer vacation.
Who's that?
Oh, them. They're the dance people.
But it turns out to be the time of her life.
Watch me now!
I can't even do the merengue.
He teaches her what she can do.
I'm not sure who you are, but I don't want you to have anything to do with those people again.
Baby, I don't see you running up to Daddy telling him I'm your guy.
Well, with my father, it's complicated. I will tell him.
I don't believe you, baby.
She shows him all he can be.
You gotta stop it now.
I know what I'm doing, Penny.
I'm scared of everything. Most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
What they learn from each other feels too good to be wrong. Dirty Dancing, starring Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey, and Cynthia Rose. Get ready for the time of your life.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Emil Ardolino's Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, baby.
I've had the time of my life.
That reminded me of their the big thing that she had to struggle with learning the dance was this like locked shoulder thing, you know, where, you know, this is my dance space and this is your dance space and you don't cross it, you know, and she's struggling to keep that upper core together, you know, besides the, you know, the jump up at the end, you know,
the lift.
Yeah. That's the big moment. But, I like the, you know, when Penny and Johnny are like surrounding Baby in that one moment, you know, and then she was the old love. And then, you know, you got the new love in the middle and it's all this like balance like thing going on. I love that little moment.
Which moment?
It's when she's trying to learn like the dance, like the locked arms when they step in.
When they're doing like all the three-way of them. Dance.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that so is strong. Blocked really nicely.
Yeah. Man.
That's that Steadicam shit, dude. I love it.
It's Steadicam, but it's more just getting the angle and without cutting, you know? They're not doing these big moves. It's just really nice repositioning. It's like using it like you'd use a dolly, but more in Z space. You know, you can actually go in and over, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, my only complaint with the photography throughout the entire movie are the out of focus shots.
Yeah.
And it's only when they're locked down and the characters are walking toward the camera.
Yeah.
For every time that happens, for some reason, there's always, they either start out of focus or there's a buzz.
It's because that, and it's always normally at night. It's because they're having to fucking shoot almost wide open and they're walking at them. And then when they're doing all this dance stuff, they've got all this light and shit going on and they've got a deeper focus. You know, they're actually, you know, closing the lens down. Low budge, man. I think all the night stuff looks pretty good for what it is. It's a little overlit, you know, but it's got that look to it. It feels very theatrical, especially the lighting is very theatrical. And especially, you know, like when it's like another, it's otherworldly, you know, like I said, when we pop into the hump party upstairs where there's, you know, 200 people in this room and everybody's dancing. There's no one just hanging out, leaning against the wall, being a wallflower, drinking a fucking martini or something. Everybody's humping. You know, and there's crazy red light and all the neon and all the crazy, you know, all the shit. And there's atmosphere and everything. It feels like a stage show, which I see why this was turned into a stage show later, just because it has that vibe.
Yeah. Minimal sets as well. I mean, you're at that location whatever it is.
But even like Johnny's apartment that he lives in feels like it's a fucking stage, you know? Like those wooden floors, and it's just, you know, everything is, it's open, but it's cluttered. You know, it feels like a stage set.
Although I don't think this movie was shot, not a single scene was shot in a set. This was all done in location.
Wow.
And they split it between North Carolina and Virginia. It looks good.
It looks great.
I do like, I like his, I guess it's like their first sex scene. When she like asks him to dance.
And she's like, dance with me.
And it's raining like, outside. Oh, dude, that's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's like, we dance when we work, bitch. No, he's like, he's like, what, here? You know, that is a great moment. But and they don't really, and you're right. I didn't really realize that this was like a PG-13 movie because they didn't really like show anything there. But I thought, oh, that was kind of nice. You know, it was just
skimpy clothes. I mean,
they cut. and then they do the, you know, where as they go down and now we're in the bed. But there's no like, you know, furious humping. Furious pumping or whatever going on, or
that's why it's PG-13.
PG-13 for thrusting, grinding, and
is
other
that what it
suggestive.
Says? Is that what it says?
No, under- no. I was making shit up, but the MPAA,
furious thrusting. The big crux of the film is basically the abortion that goes on and the big misunderstanding between Baby's father and, you know, not getting the full information. That's why he instantly hates Johnny, because who's responsible for this girl? And he's like, well, I am. But at that moment, he should have said, well, you know, I'm not the father, but I, you know, this is my friend and I'm taking care of her. And it would just solve the entire, like, relationship problem, except for like older man going out with my young daughter problem. But
I think they still would have had a couple of issues, but generally speaking, I think that says a lot about like sort of the class system, because as soon as he said who's responsible for her, I mean, I think at least I would assume everyone, but at least I understand exactly what he's asking. Yeah. And when Johnny is not going to sit here, this is an authority figure now. This has the potential to get him fired, right? He's not going to sit here and be like, oh, well, let me explain what's going on. Let's sit down and have a cup of coffee, because it is a class issue. And he's not going to step out of line. That's what that whole conversation happens between him and Baby later, where she's like, oh, no, you just need to explain it and everything will be fine. And he's like, no, that's not what happens for me. Like, that's not where I am in life. And yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just on that. It's interesting just how broken he is. You know, he seems very confident and like he always owns the room. But anytime he's ever alone with her, he's like, I'm a piece of shit. Nobody, like, everybody hates me, you know, I'll never amount to anything, you know, the only thing good in my life is you and dance, you know.
I don't think he's confident at all. I mean, I did when I was a kid, but like looking at it now as an adult, I don't think he is confident at all. I think he's confident in his abilities, yes, to dance, and that's it. I mean, even from the very scene when we're, the very first scene when we're introduced to him, it's him getting yelled at and he just like has his head down and he's like ashamed and he's just like taking it. And I think that's what attracts her to him. She wants to save him. That's what she's attracted to him. She's like, oh,
he's
hot.
He's sexy as fuck.
And not only is he sexy, but he also needs saving. And so, no. That's
her
MO of it.
And that's what he brings up. He's like, you have the nuts to fucking do whatever. You know, you feel like you always run to dad, but you know, because that's dad can save things. But that's you could actually do that.
She has that safety net, so she can take risks that he can't, because her family is her safety net. And they know, they kind of touch on that when they make fun of her for going back to dad, but that's why she's able to stand up for herself and for him and for who, you know, that's why she's able to do all of this stuff, is because she does have her family behind her no matter what. He doesn't have that.
She went and asked for $250, so I did the math on that.
I did too. Oh my God. $700 and something today.
No, I got $2,612.40. $250 in 1963 is $2,612.43.
I did it in 1987. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, that's it?
2000?
2000?
$2,600
for a black market abortion?
Abortion? Hell yeah,
yeah,
bro.
Because he just had a folding table, so it cuts down on cost.
And a dirty
know?
Knife.
Yeah, it's fine. It's the real cheap, actually.
That's why
she didn't get fucking goddamn anesthesia. We know now. They went to discount bargain abortion.
Yeah, that's you don't get like a fancy illegal abortion. They're all like,
well, that's what had me like $250 for the abortion. That seems pretty cheap. You know, like I was like, do we just need an extra $250 to make our number, or is just or it's $250? Are you in trouble, baby?
I guess it is the '50s, or sixties. I don't know. Yeah.
And Dad was able to go up there, and you know, I'd forgotten that he was a doctor. And at the very beginning, you know, there's the bag. And then at that moment where they run up and they grab the bag, I'm like, holy shit, he's a doctor. Like, you know.
Well, the guy that owns the place is like, you know, if your dad hadn't been here, I'd be dead right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just letting all that dialogue go over me, you know. But I'm looking at the grain and the camera moves and shit.
I looked at all that the second time.
Yeah.
It'd been a while since I'd seen this, so I mean, I'd completely forgotten about the abortion subplot.
Same here.
Really? I remember that. I especially remember that because when I was, the first time I saw this, I was like 3 or 4. And so I was so confused by it. And I was like, what's that? What's going on? Why is she sick? What's happening? And my parents were like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. And so it was always, this movie had like such a mystery for me. Until I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12 and watched it again.
Yeah, totally. I forgot completely about that. And then, you know, the scene where she's in the kitchen and she's like down behind the...
Where she's crying.
In that little restaurant kitchen and she's crying. Yeah. There's some crazy lighting right there. There's a fucking light under that like counter lighting her down there. And like, what is this light? What is this light there? Like, you know, it just works.
It's beautiful.
It knows exactly right. If you start like dissecting, you're like, what the fuck is that? It doesn't make any sense, but it just it works and it feels right. And there's crazy like shadows. Like, where is this light coming from? And why is it blue?
Not everything needs to be realistic.
It doesn't. No, it's
not in this movie. Yeah.
No, definitely not in this movie. Yeah.
It needs heightened reality.
Makes me wonder. That's the only reason I want to see Dirty Dancing Havana Nights is to see what it looks like. You know, like what's the quote unquote more modern take on it?
I just saw some clips on YouTube. Man, it looked like they smoked up some rooms for sure.
Yeah. Lots of atmosphere.
Yeah. I don't know. I do want to see it though. Especially after rewatching this and just enjoying this one so much.
Is that what we're doing next week, you guys?
Yeah, I think we're moving into more of a dance thing. Like, you know, we're going to watch all dance films from here out.
I mean, there's a lot of options.
I think this may be the best one.
Well, it's this one and make sure I got it right.
There's a bunch. There's Flashdance. There's Footloose. There's Save the Last Dance. I guess the closest thing before this we ever did was Bring It On, but that's cheerleading, not really the same thing. Performative arts with your body, you know.
Performative arts with your body.
Okay. My other favorite film with dancing is The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon?
Yeah. Who's the master, Leroy? Isn't there like a dance?
Yeah, it's like, got like a dance scene, though, but that's a martial arts movie, right? You're talking about that
one? isn't like the girl, his girlfriend, she goes to this like dance. It's kind of like Soul Train, like she's on that kind of like dance. Am I thinking of a different movie?
Well, yeah, we can do that. I don't know if I would qualify that as a dance movie per se. I always thought of it as a martial arts film, but you know,
they're so similar.
Martial arts and dance are the same.
You know what dance movie I've never seen? Is Singing in the Rain, and I only want to see it because every single person I know who does musical theater says that that is the reason they went into musical theater.
Okay, so that's not, I wouldn't consider that a dance movie because those have musical numbers where they're actually singing.
Oh, they're not dancing also?
So that's
they
not
are.
But they dance in the dance? Rain. They're dancing. I've seen clips of it.
That's
I
know. A number.
Yeah, so like that's a musical then. Like, but like Dirty Dancing is not a musical.
Oh, so you don't like the singing.
Well, I'm just saying that's different, right? Like, I wasn't comparing those. I was just talking about
there are musical moments in this. Like, when, like I said, we turn around, the whole
singing.
Crowd is
nobody's
dancing.
Performing. It's different. You know what I mean?
Oh, love a boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember.
That's lip syncing.
I remember. And that's performing. Hold on.
It's not the same thing. They're not breaking out the song and dance.
Break out
and everybody's like, oh, that's normal. It's just talking.
Yeah, nobody's just calling it out. Like,
I'm getting the paper. I'm walking the dog. Good day, sir. You know.
So, what is it in like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, where they all have a big sing along in the middle? You know, like every.
That's like a girl movie.
I've never
seen a girl movie. Girl movie.
Yeah, I was way too old for that.
You've seen movies that have had that happen. You know.
Mostly comedies. Like, was that Kids in the Hall? Brain Candy. I rewatched that not too long ago. That's got a random musical number in it.
There's a Hugh Grant movie that does it. Musical moments, yeah.
The Austin Powers movies all have, at least, I don't know if, are they musical? I don't know. They at least have a dance section.
Yeah, they do. They're not singing, though, right?
I don't know. Don't get me lying. I haven't seen those in forever. I need to go back
Clerks
and rewatch
two.
Them.
Clerks 2 had a musical montage.
A musical montage?
It went into, like, a big musical. Ended in a giant crane shot where everybody was like, yeah. And then the movie discontinued.
I don't remember that at all. Really?
It was outside the movies.
Oh.
There was nudity in the movie. I actually did write that down. The sneaky breast glances in the lake. She's like full tits out. So
yeah, she's got a shirt on, though.
Oh, come on, man. That's like, she's naked. Like that, naked in a PG-13.
I mean, all right, yeah. It was nice. Yeah. It was good. That is beautifully lit, too.
It's great, yeah. Apparently, they shot that in October, and it was cold as shit. And so,
you can tell by her nipples.
Because of that, they got limited coverage. They were like, basically, you just get this one angle. This is.
I heard they
get.
Painted the leaves on the trees.
They did what?
They painted the leaves because it was October, and so
holy shit.
They painted. Apparently, I didn't go back and look, but there are
that poor bastard.
You can go back and see where they missed a couple.
Well, yeah, it's almost impossible. Like, you want me to do what?
Fuck that. Can you imagine all the raking you would have to do? Like, think about all the leaves that fell off. There was a shit ton of trees.
Yeah.
No,
wow,
thank you.
I wonder if that's like, you know, they kept putting that shot off, just like her learning it. They're like, we'll get to that. You'll learn that later. Like, you know, so since they were going to do that later, they just ran out of time and they had to go pick this fucking scene up. That's
I don't
crazy.
Know. They did run out of time because they don't mention it anywhere. And I didn't see anything online, but one of the deleted scenes, the mom is played by a different actress. And then there's like a title card that comes up and says like this actress, I forget what her name was, became ill a week or two after shooting. So and they like the whole open of the movie and when like the mom's playing golf and when she's in the I don't know one of the scenes when they're in the bungalow area.
It's a different lady.
It's a totally different actress playing the mother.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a blonde haired woman. So they
no, it's red haired, right?
No, the original actress.
Oh, the okay,
was
okay.
Blonde. The mom that's in the movie is red. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because that shot of her playing golf, I just. Like has that's burned in my head because it has this like classic kind of film look to it. I don't know what it is there. It just has this like vibe.
She was cast in another role in the movie, and when the original actress got sick, they were just like, "Well, you're the mom now."
This whole movie is about an understudy.
You know, I didn't think about that, but yeah. Life yeah. imitates art. Art imitates life.
What did you guys think of the costumes?
They are all amazing. This is how you dress a fucking goddamn movie star. All right? Why does Jennifer Grey, who is literally like a nobody, dressed way better than Meg Ryan, huh? Why the fuck? And this is in the 80s. The fashion should even be terrible. Oh, God. What? See what I'm saying, Kristen?
60s. It's in the 60s.
63.
Whatever. They're rocking clothes that did not exist in the 60s. Some of her like little underwear with the elastic lining.
Oh yeah, that's
80s. Yeah,
they didn't have elastic in the 60s.
Not like that. No,
I don't think that style of underwear was out in the 60s. Women would definitely not be wearing it. I really loved the dress that Penny wore in their first dance scene. Is like burned into my brain and has been since yes. I was a small child. I love that dress. It's like just pink and it's just like fitted and then it flares out and it's like this giant circle skirt and she has like the petticoat underneath it, so it's all ruffly. It's wonderful.
That's the one where they're at they start dancing at the party and it pisses them off and they're like, whoa, you need to break up yeah. and start dancing with other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually realized on my second view that she's the one who's leading the dance class at the beginning where they have like 30 people squeezed into a tiny little spot and they're all trying to learn how to dance and baby's like right in the middle and she's like stepping on people's feet and shit.
Yeah. I didn't realize that she was also, cause she was also doing like the wig activity also. And yeah. I didn't realize that she was in charge of other things, which makes sense. I just didn't.
They're all just part. They just like, they're just part of the, you know, the ecosystem of that place.
Yeah.
It was a different time. You could have a complete dance staff.
Wait, do they not have dance staffs on cruises? I thought that was like a...
Yeah, they do. I have a friend who does that.
Yeah.
I've been on one cruise. Being on a cruise ship is kind of like going to a convention. You've got like a book and there's like all this shit that's scheduled, you know, and you could show up to it or not, you know, at fucking, you know, 3:30 on the Lido deck. We're going to do, you know, Pilates at, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's dance classes going on.
Maybe I'll skip it and get drunk by the pool. What do you think about that, Pilates?
Well, no matter where you go, there's a fucking bar.
See?
Don't worry. You're going to be drinking.
You'd have to. Ugh. I don't... Ugh. Cruise ships, I don't know.
It was weird. And they give you this card, so you don't really know how much money you're spending. You just, like, can I get another beer? And they just swipe it, you know, and it just goes. And at the end of the day, you go and sit down, and you pull up your fucking on your TV, and it's like... You spent $2,000 today in the bar.
And you're like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Or like however many beers you bought on your package, it tells you, you know, how you're doing. So you can kind of keep up with things.
All right. I was going to say, we need some kind of all included
there is.
Or something.
There is, okay. But I was being cheap, so I kind of didn't go all in. So I was kind of had to.
Did you actually spend $2,000 in one day?
Oh, no.
No,
no
right?
No. Like,
okay.
No,
okay.
Definitely not. But I drank so many Heinekens and stuff and just go and just like sit. It's like you just land and like get another beer. Boom. Just always.
That's how they get you, man. That's why you go to like those Disney parks and everything and they give you like those wristbands and.
Oh, you just beep. Yeah.
They're so dangerous in gift shops and everything.
It's just too easy, man.
Right? And it's like, well, that's, I mean, it's not real money. I didn't give anybody a credit card or cash. I mean, it's a bracelet. That's not real.
Well, yeah, and you don't see the receipt either, so you have no record of it.
You get the fucking bill. You're like, oh, shit.
Baby, we're going to have to sell the car.
Did you say baby? Baby, we're going to have to sell the car.
Nobody puts a baby on the street. Well, surprise crew bill. No, sorry. Oh, I guess we have danced around it, but we should talk about the budget. It was only $4.5 million in 87. That is like nothing. It was an independent movie. This was put out by Vestron. Who, all right, so originally back in the day, movie studios were not putting their tapes out on VHS. So these little companies, they kind of popped up, and Vestron was one of these companies that would buy titles from studios and then put them out on VHS, sell them to rental markets. When studios started releasing their VHS tapes, they decided that they were going to get into producing movies themselves. And Dirty Dancing was their first film they did.
That would be $12,855,391 today.
How much?
$12 million.
Oh, man, that's nothing. Even today. But anyway, so it obviously paid off. And they were going to only originally play this movie for like a weekend.
Holy shit.
They had no faith in it. And it was the soundtrack actually came out before the movie. And that Time of My Life song playing on the radio became such a hit 2 weeks before release that they decided to actually put it out in like, I think it was like 400 to 500 screens. And this movie never hit number one. It didn't even hit number two at the box office until its third week of release. And it was,
got legs.
It was out and it was number 10 in the box office from August 21st to December 11th. It was in the top 10.
Wow.
Ended up making $64.5 million in the United States and made $214 million worldwide, and was the first VHS to ever sell a million copies.
That wasn't a porn. Yeah.
No, this is the first VHS ever to sell that many copies. That wasn't a porn. Come on.
I thought the porn market is what kept the VHS thing going. Anyways.
I mean, maybe today.
I mean, this is 87, you know? The porn guys were probably like just getting into it. Like Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights. He's like, what? I shoot on film. Pornography is film. Not shooting on videotape. That's for amateurs.
Now you shoot on film and then you release on videotape to the mass market.
What? Why would you pay for film though if you're never going to be shown in a movie theater?
Why do you shoot film and then release it, you know, out on Blu-ray? I mean, come on, it happens.
I'm just saying, bro.
Because it looks good.
You know, come on, it's porn, bro. We got to keep our overhead down. We're maximizing profits, baby.
All right, I don't need you as my porn producer. Okay, I want art. There's no truth in your art.
I'm doing realistic porn. Every scene is only 2 minutes, and the guy is done.
He's like, quit looking down. Look up here. Look me in the eyes. One, two, one, two, one, two. Right, look, don't look down. Right here. Sorry.
Woo.
But you know that song that hit number one on the charts, is that the one with Patrick Swayze singing?
No, it was Time of My Life.
What was the one that he did in this?
She's Like the Wind.
Oh, She's Like the Wind. Yeah, that's a good fucking song.
I didn't know he sang that.
That song slaps. It just makes sense that the soundtrack would sell this film because it's fucking classic and incredible.
Swayze's the man. God damn, Jennifer Grey is so cute. They got such good chemistry together. God damn.
Even though they hated each other, apparently. And, you know, you can kind of see it. Like, you know, there's that quintessential scene where he's doing the hand down by her, you know, by her side and she laughs or whatever. And apparently that was a real scene where he's angry at her. But at certain times, like, you know, I could just kind of like see, even when he like leaned in to kiss her, I was like, you don't really like this chick. Like I could like see it a little bit, you know. I'm like,
I noticed that when I was watching it as an adult. That I don't like. Yes. I don't think he really likes her that much.
Yes,
and they don't apparently. Apparently, they did not get along.
Yeah, they didn't really get along. So I was like, yeah, this, like I don't feel
see,
a lot of it. At
I
times.
I think it reads as like sexual tension, not like I hate you tension.
I don't think he hated her. I think that he was annoyed by her.
I don't know. I think it actually reads really well. It helps the movie, I think, more than it would hurt it.
For sure. That was not a complaint. It was just an observation.
Yeah, I know. I did see it this time.
How did you guys, what do you guys think? Because this is definitely a summer fling movie, and I don't, like, everything is so clear cut in this. They're definitely never going to talk to each other ever again.
Oh, come on. They're still together.
Okay. But how do you feel about, like, the old time flings, old fashioned flings, versus now where you just, like, stalk the other person on Instagram and don't talk to them for 10 years, but you've watched all of their life updates?
Yeah, you're right, because, like, Johnny could totally, like, slip away and baby goes somewhere else, and then they just never, you know, see each other. But now, you're right, you could just be like, where the fuck is fucking Francis whatever, you know, and, like, find her. What are you doing?
Well, I would assume that it would be worse where they would follow each other on whatever social media of their choices, probably talk for, I don't know, maybe a month tops, and then, just watch each other's photos for the rest of their life.
Let me see what whore is dancing with him now.
It is kind of weird, right?
I mean,
like, there are people in my life that I haven't talked to in years, but I still see their photos pop up, and I'm just like, oh, that's cool. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're a kid, huh?
Yeah.
It's not natural, I tell you.
It's not.
It's not.
It is weird. But it's very voyeuristic.
It's fucking sick.
But do you think it's better, though? But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, how? Like, now, like, well, looking at this, like, it's so sad that, like, when I was younger, I thought it was so sad that they left. And, yeah, you hope that they end up together. But, like, let's be honest, they're not going to. And I think there's something beautiful about the fact that you will just have this man as or woman as a memory. And you never, like, see or hear from them ever again.
He was her, like, sexual awakening. Like, that was the one. That was the one that, like, made her, like, break out of what she was and find the truth inside that she's a fucking dancer and she's sexy. Yes.
Oh, is that what her breakthrough was?
Yeah, you didn't think so?
That she's a dancer? I mean, she just
She learned to do the fucking, like, the fucking leap or whatever in a week.
I didn't think she was bad.
She did all that in a week, Kristen.
I was wondering, actually, she has one conversation about this. But her whole life view is completely shattered by everything that happened there. And I just was kind of curious, like, how she handled that afterwards.
Because, like, you know, she tries to do that little big dance thing at the beginning. Like I said, where there's way too many people to learn how to dance in one spot. But she's, like, tripping over people's feet and shit, you know. And she learns how to do all this crazy shit in just a few days for this, like, you know. This thing that they had to go do for some reason,
which is amazing. And yeah, well, she's covering for Penny. She doesn't, that's why she's doing it and learning all of it, and to learn all of that in 1 week is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But she has this, she, you know, she goes into it, she's, like, so idealistic, and again, she wants to save the world, and she sees this man that she wants to try and save, and that's the whole thing that she learns, is that, like, actually, she can't save him, and everything that her dad taught her about how she needs to be a good person and do the right thing doesn't actually apply to real life. And they kind of have a conversation about it, and then Johnny is like, oh, but you should still be this really great person. Like, that's why I love you. Does he say love? But he's like, that's why I like you. And then it just kind of ends. I feel like...
It doesn't just end like that. They're in each other's arms, you know? They're going off into the sunset together.
Are they? Oh, I thought she got back in the car with her dad and left.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it reads.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely as an adult, it's just like, okay, kids. Now it's time to go home.
Exactly. Has she even graduated? Did she graduate high school? Or
she's got a little bit of a strong, like, a more open relationship with her father as being a woman. She's got a way better relationship with her sister now, because her sister was a total bitch, and like, you know, but
she
now that she's
really rude to her sister too, though.
I don't know, man. That whole dynamic. But by the end, they're both, like, you know, like when Johnny leaves, and before we have our big moment, like, her sister and her have this moment back in her room, and she's, you know, it's kind of like they're bonding a little bit.
I kind of like them fighting over the dad. Like, the sister makes enough comments to Jennifer Grey that she's like, what is it when they're laying in bed where she's like, dad listens to me now? and you hate that.
You're no longer the favorite child.
And it's just like, holy shit, okay, all right, okay. Getting a little window into this backstory here. All right, holding some grudges a little bit. I like that. I think that works really well. I even like the little, who was it? The Patrick Swayze's like nephew or cousin or something, Billy. The guy's holding the watermelons in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like that dude.
Yeah, that's the guy I was talking about earlier who was like, you know, he's like, can you imagine if this dancing was going on back at the big house?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He was great.
He was good.
Some big-ass watermelons. And you think people at that fucking, like, hump party are all eating watermelon? What were those watermelons for? You think they're going to put liquor in them or something?
I mean, I assume that they either already had liquor in them or they were going to do that, yeah.
If they already had liquor in them, there's no way he's holding three of those, bro. I mean...
All right, okay, you got a point there. Those were gigantic watermelons.
They were massive, yeah. Like, damn. At least they're eating, you know, you need a lot of electrolytes and stuff when you're doing all this, like, moving, you know. Like, the best thing in the world is coconut water and fucking watermelon.
These motherfuckers do dance forever. It's just like, I would be worn out, man. I'd be like one dude, song and be like, need a break.
Johnny leaves the main party where he's over there dancing with all the fucking old ladies and picking up, you know, women that he can sleep with and put some diamonds in his pocket. And then he goes over to this other place and it's like he's back at work. He just moves around. He's like, all right, there's no like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, I just jump right in. I walk right in the room and I start humping. We just move to the next one and next one and next one. Yeah.
I do like the movie does not let Patrick Swayze off the hook for being a man whore. I like that. We're going to call him out and slut shame him just like we do women. I like that's nice. That's nice.
They're using me, bro. You don't know how hard it is, you know?
He's like, I just came from the streets. He's like, they smell good. Have you smelled them?
He's like, oh my God, they smell so good. And they have so much money. And you just wouldn't believe what you could get. And
they take care of themselves. I didn't know women.
Baby, you just
like
don't
that.
Understand. Where I come from, baby, women don't bathe.
I know, right? It's like, bro, where the fuck, where did you come from?
Are you the streets.
Homeless? I know. Like, when you said the streets, I meant like you were a little poor, don't have a lot of money.
I live behind the resort in a tent in the off season, you know.
Oh my gosh. What is happening? Are we at ratings?
It feels like it, Brian. It feels like we've said everything we can say about Dirty Dancing.
All right, who's going first? Who is rating the dirtiest of the dances?
Dirty Dancing has to be a 10 because it's probably the best dancing movie of all time. When you think of dancing, it's not just because it says dance in the title. You're probably going to say Dirty Dancing or Footloose. Most people would probably say Footloose too. So it's between Footloose.
Footloose is terrible. Fucking
what is
horrible.
That?
Footloose is a fucking piece of shit. It's almost unwatchable today.
What about Splashdance?
Man, I haven't seen Flashdance.
That is. Yeah,
yeah, I need to rewatch that. I actually was like, ooh, I kind of want to watch that because it's like Jennifer Bill. We got another Jennifer in there. I'm like, oh, maybe this is good. I haven't seen it in like 20 years. It could be awesome.
That's the one with the water, right? Where she gets in the folding chair and she goes back and the water comes down.
Absolutely.
See, okay, yeah. See, that big, I, you know, Footloose, I just think Kevin Bacon. I don't know about like.
Yeah,
you know.
Dancing in a barn and having a tractor race with Sean Penn's brother. And yeah.
All right,
it's terrible.
Dirty Dancing, way more sexy. You know, it's the one. It was shot way better than I was expecting it to be. Get that 4K disc, everybody. It looks fucking incredible. And the sound, it's so fucking good, man. The one of the best soundtracks of all time next to Garden State. You know.
What?
Look it up. Anyways, it's a 10. It's great.
Kristen, you following that insanity or okay?
Yeah, this is a great movie. This has everything that you could ever want. It looks fantastic. Yes, there's dancing. Yes, there's costumes. The hair is a little dated, but it works for what's going on. This is a classic movie because even though it's set in the 60s, you could set it in a lot of other time periods and it would still play out exactly as it is. It's timeless. The songs, also timeless. Fantastic. I'm sure there are things I didn't mention. It doesn't matter. They're all good. I'm going to give it a 10.
All right. Two 10s. Obviously, I'm giving this a 10. It is the best dance movie. It's just a great romance movie. It's heartwarming. It feels good. Like, you almost want to cry tears of joy at the end of this thing.
I did.
It's from 87, too, and to still have, like, that impact today. Everybody knows the line. Nobody puts baby in the corner because it is so fucking... It's such a good moment. Patrick Swayze just comes in there with his leather jacket and owns the fucking room. There's even that moment in the dance where, like, Patrick Swayze jumps off the stage and just leaves, like, Jennifer Grey there, just fucking leaves her.
And she starts laughing, and she's so into it.
All right? And they do that close-up where they just cut in where she's smiling. I fucking love it. I'm like, girl, you are just standing there laughing at me, and you're fucking oozing charisma out of every pore of your body. I am here for it. I am totally here for it. Love every little aspect of this movie. It's great. 10.
Like its winsome characters, Dirty Dancing uses impressive choreography and the power of song to surmount a series of formidable obstacles. I wonder what those are, because I don't really know much about that. Let's see. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Dirty Dancing with a 72% tomato meter and a 90% popcorn meter, because the fucking audience is right with this one.
I'm surprised it's that low.
70-something's not bad, though.
It's not bad, but I'm surprised it's that low.
I bet you a lot of that's because of the modern viewers. This movie did get a little bit of backlash when it came out, just because, you know.
Oh, well, wait. Actually, what am I saying? I think the people who would hate this movie are the people who, instantly hated it because of the abortion subplot.
There's that. Just like, I don't know. Anytime you have something that gets too popular, you have people, like, kind of just turn on it, you know. Like, people were like that with Titanic and, you know.
It's a movie best seen through the hazy amber filter of 80s nostalgia, and if you're watching it without those rose-colored glasses on, God help you.
Fuck you. What's
that's what I'm saying.
That
fuck
doesn't make sense.
You. This movie is so fucking fun, and like, I don't know. It's really, really great. And for being an hour and 40 minutes long, it moves. It's great.
And it's actually sexy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So take that, guy from Rotten Tomatoes. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X at... Oh, did I say Twitter? Instagram, whatever. Man.
All the places.
At Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can find me on X, Twitter, whatever the hell it's called, at Elkins Edits. And we are going to close out with we're just going to play a snippet. So we don't need to do like 20 minutes of music. So we're going to do like a verse and a chorus of I've had, in parentheses, the times of my life. The time of my life, sorry. Times of my life. What the hell am I? I don't know. Anyway.
And I owe it all to you.
Enjoy.
Hey, the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before.
Never felt.
Yes, I swear. It's the truth. And I owe it.